Every year from the time I was in the first grade, first day of school, my mother would come in and she'd say, school days, dear old golden rule days. When I was a senior, I said, Mother, I'm a senior. I'm not in the first grade again. But every school year was important to her, as every school year is important to each one of us, as students, as parents, as grandparents, as teachers. It's a stressful thing to start school again. Going to school involves new schedules, new teachers. You've got to go out and buy new clothes, those things cost money. I mean, how is it that a size 3 tennis shoe costs the same as a size 10? But have you priced? Well, yeah, you've priced those things. You know. It costs money. It's a big deal, especially for our students, because they've got to start all over again with another year, academically and socially, just because you're a sixth grader or a freshman or a sophomore or a junior or a senior, or if you're going off to college, every year brings its new challenges and it brings its new struggles. But if you think that's hard for the students, what about the parents? Parents, it's tough on us, isn't it? Especially when you're having to send your kid off into the big bad world. You're not going to be there in English class or history class or science class to make sure he or she's not goofing off. You're not going to be there at lunch to see if he's or she gets included in the lunch crowd. You're not going to be there in the locker room to see whether or not he's faced with vulgarity and some misinformation, or she. You're not going to be there after the football games to know whether or not your child makes a good decision about who and where to go or whether they don't. You hope you've prepared them. You hope you've prepared them to survive. Now that seems like a harsh word, doesn't it? To talk about sending your kids to school and saying, I hope I prepared them to survive. But it seems like that's exactly what it has become. You hope that you pray that the angels in heaven will watch over them and protect them and keep them. This morning, I've asked three of our elders to say some prayers for us today. I've asked Joe, if he would, to say a special prayer for you kids, for those of you that are starting school. Whether it's your first year as kindergarten or whether it's your senior year or whether you're off at college. I've asked Huff to pray for the parents and for the grandparents that'll be concerned about you. And I've asked Brother Al, if he would, to pray for our teachers, those who will be instructing our children, not just in the academic world, but also those teachers of the heart. So would you bow your heart, please, as Joe begins by leading us in a special prayer for our children.
Father, we're so thankful this morning for the opportunity we have to pray for our kids, our children. Father, we know how much you love them. We know how much you care for children. And by your words, we know that they are so important. Father, they're important to us also. And Father, we realize how much they mean to us. We understand how important they are to this congregation and what great examples they've set forth to us in their diligence to study your word and their desire to participate and their zeal to worship. They're great examples to us. Father, actually, they're the reason that we enjoy life is our children. Father, we ask you to be with them, to watch over them, to guide them through this school year. We pray that in all that they do, they will think of you and want to do what you would have them to do. Father, we ask you to, as brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage them. If we see problems, we pray that we would help them. Father, we ask you to give us the knowledge to lead them in the way that they should go. Father, be with them, and we pray that they will watch out for each other as they go to school, and that they will be helpful to each other. Father, be with us as parents and as grandparents as we watch over them. Give us the abilities to do that. We thank you for giving them to us. We pray that we will take care of them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
What a sweet and powerful prayer. Get a chance after church, kids, y'all, to tell Brother Joe how much you appreciate him praying for you like that. Now ask Brother Huff, if he would, to pray for the parents and for the grandparents.
Pray with me. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer again this morning. And first off, we just want to thank you for the privilege of being parents, being grandparents. We also want to ask you, Father, to let us never take that lightly, never take it for granted. We ask, Father, that you instill in our hearts and our minds that we know just how much of a responsibility it is to train up a child as you would have us to do so. Father in heaven, we pray that as parents and grandparents encounter trials and tribulations throughout raising their children, that they will always look to you for the answer. They will look to your word for the answer to make the right decision. We pray, Father in heaven, that we'll always be good examples to our children and grandchildren, that we try to live the lifestyle that will show them that we are Christians and that we love you and that we follow you. Pray, Father in heaven, that also as parents and grandparents, that we'll never lose sight of the fact that we are being watched in everything that we do. We pray, Father, that we'll keep that in mind, that we'll always set the example that you would have us to set. Father, again, we're thankful for the privilege that you've given us. We pray, Father, that we'll be good stewards of that privilege and that we'll always do the best we can to raise our children and grandchildren. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Huff.
Parents, grandparents, did you notice two very important words in that prayer? Responsibility and example. Now, a very important part of our school year is our teachers. We have a number of teachers that are part of this church family. But for all our teachers and to all our teachers, a prayer from the lips of Brother Al.
Most righteous Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to come before Thee with these petitions on behalf of all of these folks, Heavenly Father, and we pray at this time that Thou would be with those that teach our children in school. Give them a ready recollection of the things, Heavenly Father, that they have studied. Give them that knowledge. Please give them wisdom, Heavenly Father, as to how to present this, that it would glorify Thy name and it would give our children good instruction. Be with them, Heavenly Father, and give them patience to endure the trying things at times. Give them courage to say what is right in accordance with Thy word. Help us, Heavenly Father, to support their efforts, to give them that strength. Heavenly Father, may they do the things that would teach our children the things of this world, and yet, Heavenly Father, in such a way that our children don't strive for the things of this world, that they strive after Thee. We ask too, Heavenly Father, that Thou would bless all teachers, including those that teach in our Bible classes here. Give all of them, Heavenly Father, the knowledge of Thy word. Help them to gain that knowledge and then to develop the wisdom to rightly divide Thy word, even to small, small children, Heavenly Father. But most of all, Heavenly Father, give all of these teachers love, compassion for these precious things that we have. Give them love, Heavenly Father, for their very being, and help them to take care of these children while they are away from us, and to guide them and to help them. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for all that Thou hast blessed us with. This is our prayer in Jesus' blessed, most holy name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that so much. If you can't see from just those prayers how much you are loved, kids, then something is wrong there as far as what you're seeing in your life. Well, let's talk about this morning about how not to have a bad school year. I want to tell you, the reason why I'm doing this is because I love you. I think so much of you. When somebody asks me how many grandkids do I have, I really would like to say I've got 50, or however many of you there are here. Because I feel like that every one of you belong to me. And that's the way I love you. And so this morning, I wanted to talk to you. I want you to have the best school year possible. But I know that there are so many things that can ruin your school year. That can ruin your life. And it's hard to see you have to have these struggles. You ought to be able just to be a kid and enjoy your school year. And I hope that you do enjoy your school year. But I know there are going to be some challenges. I know there are going to be some problems. And I'm just trying to say from the old guy that loves you so much to watch out. And I want to go to the book of Proverbs, because that's exactly what the first nine chapters of Proverbs is all about. It's about a fathers and mothers talking to their children. Talking to their children about the things of life that they'll face. And One good passage is Proverbs chapter 1. I'd like to start with verse 2 there. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteous judgment, in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now watch this one. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there you have it. The perfect book for going back to school and having a great school year. Whether you're a sixth grader or a senior or you're in college, all these principles are powerful and applicable to you. I want you to notice one thing first, though. The disclaimer that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Whatever you do and wherever you go and whatever you study, it all comes from God. The truth comes from God. And we must seek that wisdom and seek that knowledge in a fear and a reverence of God. So, lesson number one is that it all begins with God. But I want you to remember when you're tempted to put school before your spiritual truths, your worshiping God, that God is to come first in your life. Well, the kind of instruction that we need to have the right kind of lives, parents, doesn't so much start in the classroom as it does the living room. Now, teachers are important. Good teachers are jewels and gems in the lives of our children. And it takes everybody to raise our children. It takes good math teachers. It takes good coaches. It takes the church family, all working together nowadays to raise our children. But a very important fact cannot be overlooked, and that is that it has to be supported by you as parents in the home. But I want us to look at the book of Proverbs. Actually, here in this first nine chapters, and of course we won't get a chance to look at all of that this morning. But it's instruction on how to help our children to have the right kind of life and see the important things that are in life, in their lives. In fact, in these first nine chapters, there are 10 talks that dads would have with their son or moms would have with their daughters. So I'm commending to you, parents, to go back and to read Proverbs, the first nine chapters, because you're going to find some very powerful, powerful instruction. Instruction about how to be successful in life, about how to be successful in the school year, about how to be successful in being people. Proverbs is much more concerned about developing the right kind of character than it is in developing the right kind of portfolio. But these great truths are applicable in what we're talking about this morning. How not to have a bad school year. And every now and then, Lady Wisdom in Proverbs will say, listen to your father, listen to your mother, because they were right. Then one of the first things that we find here is that Solomon said, if you're going to have a good school year, if you don't want to have a bad school year, avoid bad people. Listen to him in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. He said, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't go with them. And then in verse 15 and 16, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. If you don't want to have a bad school year, avoid bad people. In this talk that Solomon records of this father having this talk with his son, he says to him, avoid getting involved with the wrong crowd. It's easy to get involved with the wrong crowd. If you're not a scholar, or if you're not a jock, or if you don't not a cheerleader, or if you don't play in the band, who do you eat lunch with? Who do you hang out at school with? And a lot of times what happens is the temptation is to gravitate to the crowd that will accept you, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And that's a tough situation for a young person to be in, especially if you're going to a new school, especially if you're going to a different school, especially if you're going to college. And you're going off and you're going to be away. Be careful about who you pick to be your friends. The gang, as Proverbs chapter 1 calls it, verses 8 through 19, has a lot to offer. Adventure, verse 11. Easy money, verse 13. Camaraderie, verse 14. But their plans, Solomon said, is evil. And you can get caught up in that before you know it. And so Solomon says, my son, do not get involved with these people. Every fall when we have to send our children back to school, we have some certain hopes and some certain prayers. We hope they have good teachers. There are really, really good teachers, and there's some that are not as good a teacher. We hope they get good teachers. We hope that they pick good friends. Kids, you know why? You know why that your parents are so concerned about your friends? Because they've been down a road enough to know that first you make your friends and then your friends make you. First you make your friends, and then your friends make you. And so picking good friends, choosing good friends, is so important. Because when you get involved in, and even a good kid can go wrong. There are a lot of good kids that are in prisons somewhere because they got caught up with the wrong crowd. If there's one thing that your parents have a desire for you as much as anything else about your school year, is that you pick good friends. In Proverbs 29, verse 24, the wise man Solomon says, "The accomplice is a thief, the accomplice of a thief is his own enemy." Sometimes just being in the crowd, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's why that picking your friends is so important. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, when he said, "Be not deceived, don't fool yourself, because evil companions will corrupt good morals." Don't fool yourself. Don't say to yourself, "Well, it's my friends, it's my business, and whatever I'm..." Evil friends, bad friends, will corrupt good character. Now, here are some things that I want you to underline in your mind. Again, from somebody that loves you. Number one, if there's alcohol involved, stay away from it. When you start drinking, you stop thinking. And just leave it alone. Don't be around it. Don't go where it is. If there are drugs involved, stay away from it. Parents, if your child is hanging out with friends that are drinking and drugging, no matter how much they protest to you that they're not doing it, they're doing it. You know how I know? It's because it's no fun for a straight kid to be around where they're all drugged up and where they're all doped up and where they're all drunk. Now, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to come to their realization that they don't want to be around these irresponsible friends and they'll get new ones, or they are doing it. They'll get caught up in it. If there is a gun, stay away from it. Well, we're not going to hurt anybody. There are a lot of kids sitting in prison cells right now who were there whenever the gun went off and someone was killed, and they were involved because they were there. Don't go where there's a gun. Watch this one now. Listen to me about this one. If shoplifting is involved, don't go. There's some kids that get a thrill out of stealing. Shoplifting is not a game. It's a crime. And if you walk out that door and they've got you on the camera with the one that shoplifted, you're going to be arrested too. And you're going to be taken in too. If it is a bad location, if it's a place that you're not comfortable, don't go. And you know, you are smart enough to know these things. You got a feeling when it's not right, when it's uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable to you, don't go. Don't be involved. Because you will find yourself in a situation that you wish you could not get out of, and it may take you a lifetime, and you'll never get over it. So, just be smart is what Solomon is trying to say here. So, if you don't want to have a bad school year, avoid wrong desires. And here's what Solomon says. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Forsake not your mother's teachings, for they are a graceful garland for your head. Just listen to you, folks. That's all he's saying. And penance for your neck. My son, if sinners entice, do not consent. If they say, come with us, and lie in wait for blood, and lie in ambush for the innocent without reason, like Sheol, let us swallow them up alive and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all the precious goods. We shall find, fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we'll have one purse, and we'll have a good time. If you don't want to have a bad school year, avoid the wrong desires. Now, he's particularly talking here about the greedy. But it certainly, that leads to bad decisions, bad desires. This is the kind of attitude, I want something for nothing. I want to be a success. I want happiness. I want to get something for nothing. And what they are willing to do in order to accomplish that is what Solomon is saying. What do you want out of your schooling? You want a good scholarship? You want a good grade? You want the best internships? You want the best jobs? You want the best pay? You want the best benefits? You want the best retirement? Do you want to do as little as possible in order to attain those things? That's the American dream, isn't it? Well, there's just a few pitfalls about that kind of mentality. Getting something for nothing. I mean, you know, you want a good grade, you want to make an A, but are you willing to cheat to do it? You want to win the game, but will you cheat? Will you throw all of the rules and of the game and good sportsmanship out the window to attain it? Is that what you want? Is that what you're willing to do? I mean, here's some really good advice in chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. Then will you understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant for your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men who will pervert speech, who forsake the paths of righteousness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, who delight in the perverseness of evil. Men whose paths are crooked and whose devious ways are evident. Do right. Have the right kind of attitude. Make good decisions. and you'll not have a bad school year. And then lastly, if you want to avoid having a bad school year, avoid sinful relationships. Here is a passage of scripture that Solomon puts here for us. You know, our society is not the only society to ever be saturated with preoccupation with sex. Proverbs 1 through 9, chapters 1 through 9, is a father's concern about his son and a mother's concern about her daughter. Now, this is the most uncomfortable thing for me to talk about because I came from an era when the word sex was never even mentioned. But it is a problem. It is a very, very big problem. And the thing is that the cost for a few moments of a bad decision can last for an entire lifetime. It can change your entire life and that of all of your family and all of your friends. It's not just you. It's not just that moment of saying, okay, when you ought to have said, no, I'm not going to do that. In Solomon's wisdom, he presents the beauty of a right kind of relationship, a husband and a wife. And he just keeps on and on telling us how foolish we are if we don't keep that relationship in those boundaries. I don't know what to say other than to tell you that you have got to be strong when you want to be weak. And you've got to say no when your emotions, which are so strong and so powerful, are pushing you to say yes. Solomon is just saying, look down the road. Think of the consequences. Make good decisions. Well, there's so much other things that Solomon has to say. If you want to have a good school year, pick good godly friends. Pursue godly things. Partake of godly relationships. But if you forget everything else, remember this passage of Scripture right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. And watch this now. And He will direct your steps. God knows how much we love you. And God knows how much we care. And I hope you do. Have a wonderful, wonderful school year. Have a wonderful, wonderful life. But it can only be if you include God. Would you come while together we stand and sing?